How many get excited when you're on a trip somewhere and all of a sudden you see a sign that says, detour up ahead? How many enjoy those? Not all detours are bad, okay? Not all detours are bad. In fact, it was, I believe, Mike, June 2nd, right after the morning service, was going to go with Mike and Elizabeth and Naomi down to Harvey Cedars to begin her summer ministry there. And the GPS said, as we were getting into Jersey, I know the way to Harvey Cedars, but the GPS said, Mike, remember, we're going to take a different route. We're going to take a detour. And lo and behold, we got there much faster, and it was a great ride. So this morning, we're going to take a little bit of a detour from our normal study on spiritual warfare. If you're visiting with us, I want to invite you back next week, of course, where we'll pick up the study. But I want to take a little detour, and that's Brother Paul's fault in part. Last Sunday evening, Brother Paul Hauser spoke on Deuteronomy. And I just sat there just enjoying the ministry of the word so much. And he'll be back, Lord willing, to pick it up where he left off one of these Sunday evenings. But I was so encouraged by that study that on Monday morning I started reading some of the passages in Deuteronomy. And so as we approach the Lord's table this morning, I want to get into Deuteronomy a little bit eventually and talk about remembering. Remembering. So if you have your outline, it's on the back of your bulletin. We'll ask you to take some notes and then follow along with us as we read some scriptures. But let's pray this morning. Father, as we look into your word, teach us, prepare us as we remember what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, as we remember him through the Lord's Supper. Thank you for this book. Thank you again for the privilege we have to meet. And Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit who is the ultimate teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There seems to me to be in many people an inner drive to be remembered. Would you agree with that? Every now and then I'll go on a long walk and I'll end up in a cemetery up by us, and it's amazing how fancy some of the monuments are. They have digital pictures, and I think some of them even have sound these days and all kind of stuff going on. Why? Because people want to be remembered. Buildings, scholarships, annual events, all kind of things are named in honor of somebody, so they will be remembered. Don't tell anybody, but Harvey Cedars was building a new building, and they wrote me a letter, and they said, you know, if you send us money, we'll put your name in the building somewheres. They didn't say where. And so, I sent them some money. And if you go down this one dark hall, down at the end of the hall, way at the bottom of the stairwell, you'll see my name. That's really cool, all right? Because I want to be remembered at Harvey Cedars. I love it down there. Many of us are involved in an active pursuit to remember people and events, right? You go to events today, they didn't have this Farmer Tom years ago. Photo booths. Did you ever go to an event where there was a photo booth? What's that for? So we can remember an event. By the way, is that bad? It's a great thing. It's a great thing. We take pictures. I've learned how to use my phone. So when I'm visiting with you, I'll probably say, hey, let's take a, if it's two people, do you still call it a selfie? You still call it a selfie. Okay. Why? We want to remember that. We want to remember that event. That's a good thing. Fun times, beloved family members, better days, enjoyable, nothing wrong. But you know what? When our Lord gives us the command to remember him, he means a little more than that. Although that's included. There's much more to that. Let me read this to you again, and then we'll take this apart and We'll get to Deuteronomy. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 24 and 25. It says, and by the way, if you don't have a Bible, we want to give you one, all right? There's one on the back hymn rack. Please take one or see me. We want you to have your own copy of Scripture so you can read it and study with us. That would be great. It says, when he had given thanks, he, our Lord, broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this what? They says it again. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood, new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it. And what's next? In other words, we understand when the local church met in New Testament times, every time the church got together, they had a love feast. They ended by remembering the Lord by breaking of bread. Why? Because he said, do this in remembrance of me. Do this so that you will not forget. And as I was trying to say before, Jesus meant way more than just keeping an event in mind when he spoke to the disciples. They had 3 great years together, did they not? I'm sure they had some fun times. I know they had some serious times. I know they were stretched. I know they learned a lot. There's life-changing experiences. But there's much more. There's much more when Jesus told them and tells us, do this in remembrance of me. As we're going through this, let me just mention this morning by way in passing, you know, there are 2 local church ordinances given to us for this present day. Some groups call them sacraments. We don't like that term. That kind of confuses us. But what are the 2 local church ordinances for this present age? What are we commanded to be involved with? What are they?
Baptism
and the Lord's table, a Lord's Supper, right? Believer's water baptism. And by the way, let me say this by way of footnote. When it comes to believer's baptism, the real issue is not how much water is used, and we believe in dunking someone all the way down. The issue is who you baptize. So we call believer's baptism, when we identify with Christ, are those who place their faith in Christ and Christ alone. And you know, baptism never saves. It's not required for justification, but very, very important. Then, as Professor Tim just mentioned, the 2nd ordinance is the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper, or we call it communion or the breaking of the bread service. Technically for believers only, and communion does not save. But both ordinances, baptism and the Lord's table, deal with a big picture. And if you're taking notes, the big picture here, and we want to get to this morning, the big picture is our identification. Our identification. Who we are in Christ. When we undergo baptism, we're identifying with what, class? What are we identifying with when we undergo baptism? His death, burial, and resurrection. We died with Christ, we were buried with Christ, we are raised with Christ. When did that happen? The moment we placed our faith in Christ alone, our identification. It tells us to whom we belong to, no longer to Satan, but to Christ, to his church. And by the way, expectations are included with our identification. Who we are, our identification, is to determine what we do. Let me read this again. Who we are, our identification, is to determine what we do, our behavior. And so baptism and the Lord's table are not just nice religious symbols. And as I was thinking through this, you know, there are at least two reasons we know for sure that baptism and the Lord's table are very, very important, much more than we think. First of all, the Bible tells us to get involved with these ordinances. They're biblically commanded. But the second reason is there's continual confusion. And the more confusion there is out there about a doctrine, we understand, the more important it must be, because Satan loves to confuse us when it comes to doctrine. There's whole denominations, whole churches based on a certain mode, a certain function of one of these ordinances. Satan wants to confuse this. Jesus says, 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25, do this in remembrance of me. Not only what Jesus did for us, but our identification. Our identification. The Corinthians forgot who they were in Christ. And we often forget who we are in Christ. And what happens when we forget who we are as believers in Christ? What happens, or what can happen? What happens? We can fall away. What else? We act like everybody else. We act like unbelievers. We act like everybody else we hang around with. We're always in danger of doing what the Corinthian church did. When I baptize somebody. And if you haven't been baptized yet as a believer, you need to do that. So see me at the door. We'll sign you up. We'll get that going. Ross is anxious to get the baptismal full again. We'll do that. But I often like to talk about the wedding ring when it comes to baptism. Baptism doesn't save you like putting on a wedding ring doesn't save you. You know, I don't, and this is just me personally, okay? And if you would differ with me, I still love you and it's okay, all right? But I don't particularly care for jewelry, all right? I don't like jewelry. You know, I don't like necklaces. I don't wear earrings. I don't wear, no. What's so funny? I don't wear nose rings. And sometimes I have to be careful not to stare when I'm somewheres and someone has this thing in their tongue or their nose or wherever. And I always want to ask, how do you do that? But I don't. I don't care for that. And if you do, that's fine. I like two pieces of jewelry. I like the watch, and you could be thankful I like a watch. Okay, that's always good when a preacher has a watch. And I like my wedding ring. That's very, very special. A wedding ring. My wedding ring, and yours is too, is a constant reminder of what? My identification. My identification. I remember when I first put that on. Wow. And I still feel that way. You know, that's just a great thing. It reminds me of my identification. It reminds me of my, get this, my covenant responsibilities as a husband, right? Even though most of us have no idea what we're doing when we get married. You know, somebody tells us to repeat somebody up here, and we do it. We have no idea, but it stands for the covenant, and then we learn about that later on in life, don't we? Who I am, who I am not, it comes with privileges and responsibilities and obligations. And by the way, you know this. My wedding ring also serves as a boundary marker. And you ladies don't believe this, but guys, no matter how old they get, they still think they're 18, okay? And we're not 18 anymore. This is a boundary marker, all right? Symbol of ownership. And when we forget that, you can get into big trouble. Get in big trouble. There's a value of remembering. And there's a danger of forgetting. That's why Jesus said, gave this to the church, as often as you do this in remembrance of me, because there's a danger of forgetting our true identity. Let's get to the outline this morning. Number one, and we're going to be going through some different scriptures. Hopefully you'll see how these tie together. And this is part of the warfare because of Satan. And Paul says, we are not unaware of the way he operates. We know his strategies. If he could get us to forget who we are, there's victory right there if we forget our identity. Number one, Roman number one. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, notice an apostolic description. This is a description of the believer in Jesus Christ. I love these verses. I love these verses. And let's pick it up in the context. Peter's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this, verse 8, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What does Peter say? Right now, we who know Christ, we who believe in Christ, presently know he's unseen, and yet we rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, in anticipation of our final salvation, when we will see him just as he is, and we will, John tells us, be just like him. That should be the focus of our affections this morning as we come to worship. That's a description of us. Roman numeral 2. Notice, for a moment, by way of review, a reminder, notice our Lord Jesus Christ's bottom line expectation. He carries this from Old Testament into New Testament. Mark chapter 12, beginning in verse 28. After there was that argument over the fact of the resurrection, another religious scholar came up to Jesus, it says here, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that Jesus had answered them well, And he asked Jesus a question. Which is the first commandment of all? What's the greatest commandment? Of all the 600 and something commandments, what is bottom line? That's something, Paul, we in Jersey always want to know. What is the bottom line? You know, in all these commandments, there are some of them are very, very detailed. Some of them are hard to understand. But what's bottom line? What's bottom line? And you who have read the Bible know what Jesus is going to say. Verse 29, he answered him. The first of all the commandments is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And look at verse 30. You shall love the Lord. Look at this expectation. With what? The Lord your God with all your what? With all your strength. What's that? What's that refer to? Totality of all we are. All we are. This is the first commandment. And I'll read 31, and the second is like it is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Total focus. Total dedication. Are we ever going to arrive there during this time of our pilgrimage? Nope. We won't be there perfectly to with the Lord Jesus. But that's to be our focus. Heart, soul, mind, strength. Totality of our person. That's the expectation. By the way, if you focus on this one, everything else will fall into place. Third, now we're going to get into Deuteronomy. I want to go back for a few moments this morning and notice a Mosaic two-pronged responsibility. Two-pronged responsibility. Thanks, Brother Paul, that you provoked me or encouraged me to go look at this book again. And I hope you'll read Deuteronomy so next time we schedule that, you'll be a little more prepared to track the teaching. But I looked at, Monday, I looked at this quite a bit. And I looked at again that and saw that Moses continually warns and exhorts the children of Israel, two things, don't forget and to remember. In fact, in the old concordance I looked at dealing with one of the translations, I found over 9 times they were told not to forget and over 14 times they were commanded to actively remember. That was their responsibility. Moses could not do it for them. Their mother couldn't do it for them. They had to do it. And let's look at some of these this morning. We won't look at all of them, all right? We won't look at all of them, but we'll look at some of these, and maybe this will whet your appetite to go back and look at Deuteronomy a little more. Follow your Bible with me or follow the screen. Let's go right through these. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, and if you have your Bible in the pen, I would underline these, or if someone's sitting next to you, underline it in their Bible because they need to hear this too. Okay, do that. That's fine. Can you underline on a phone? Can you do that? I just got a new, someone just gave me a new, what is that thing? iPad. So someday I'm coming up there, I'll be carrying around an iPad here. I'm looking forward to that, Tim, so watch out, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. And I'm not going to explain all the context here. We're just going to look at, for the most part, the text. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Moses has said to the children of Israel, and this is after, way after they're out of Egypt. Only take heed to yourself, pay attention, and diligently keep yourself, lest you do what? Forget the things your eyes have seen. That's amazing that they could actually forget what they witnessed, what they saw. But it's possible. And lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Skip down to 23 and 24. Another. This is weightiness. This is warning. Moses said to God's people, take heed to yourselves. In other words, pay attention. Pay close attention. Lest you do what? Forget the covenant, the law of the Lord your God, which he made with you. And make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden. By the way, did they forget ultimately? Did they make carved images? Did God punish them? They paid the price. Many years of captivity. For the Lord your God is a consuming what? Fire. A jealous God. In other words, pay attention. This is not optional. Down to Deuteronomy 5. Turn to chapter 5, verse number 15. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15. Moses is reviewing the commandment dealing with the Sabbath, and he says this. He tells them what to remember. He says, and remember, verse 15, Deuteronomy 5, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out there by a mighty hand, by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. I'll tell you what, verse 5 and many of these verses serve as a wonderful illustration of salvation. God's people coming out of Egypt. Could they come out of Egypt all by themselves? What did they do? What did they do to get out of Egypt? They just trusted God, did what he told them to do. God delivered them. That's, if you're saved this morning, if you're in Christ, is because you just trusted God, you trusted Christ. Nothing we can do. But you know what Moses said? They could forget. How could you forget that? But they could. They could. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And these are written out on your outline so you can go home and kind of go over these again. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I want to go through a lengthier section here where Moses tells God's people to take proactive measures. Be responsible. Do something so you don't forget. Verse 5 through 12, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, all your strength. Then he says, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And so that you don't forget them, he says, you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, when should you talk about them? All the time. All the time. He's saying all the time, all the time. Because if we don't, what's going to happen? We're going to forget. We're going to forget. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. If you go over to Israel, and I hope you get over there, you'll see some of the Israeli houses. They have those little, I believe, what do they call them, mazukas or something like that, where they have copies of the Word of God written, and they have them right on the doorpost of their homes. Verse 10. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, a promised land, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and when you have eaten and are full, then what? Verse 12. What's the next word? Then what? Beware, 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 lest you do what? Forget, and end up saying what? Look what I've done. Look what I've done. They did that. They forgot. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I know this, you're saying, why is he going over all these verses? I want you to see the emphasis here, right? I want you to see this. Chapter 8, verse 2. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I commanded you today. Again, same thing. Moses is being repetitive because he wants to drill this in. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt from the land of bondage. Possible. And they did. And verse 18 and 19. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is today. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely, what? Perish. Personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. Two more. And these are really redundant. They're all redundant, really. The same message. Remember, do not forget your responsibility. Verse 15, chapter 15, verse 15. because they forgot later on. No matter how much Moses just tried to drill this in, they still wander. Why? Because we have sinful hearts. We have hearts adrift. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you, brought you out, brought you back. Therefore, I command you this thing today. Hey, beloved, what would have happened if God would not have brought his own people out of Egypt? Where would they be? Where would they remain? Egypt. Egypt. Chapter 16, verse 12. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes right before Passover celebration. See the concern? I want you to see the urgency. Do not forget, actively remember, or else you will forget who you are, you will forget what God did for you, and then you will live like the unbelieving people around you and just drift and be like them. And that's what happened to God's very own people who saw the amazing deliverance from Egypt. Unbelievable. And Paul says in New Testament, he says, you know, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. In other words, pay attention so the same punishment does not happen on us. Who we are, our identification is to determine what we do, our behavior. Don't forget. Don't forget. The Lord would come and say, right before he'd go to the cross, do this in remembrance of me. Roman numeral 4. Number 4, I want you to notice a New Testament emphasis. A New Testament emphasis when it's not only personal responsibility, but it's also the responsibility of those in leadership of any type. Look at what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and 2 Peter 3. He's going to take this urgency of reminding people to heart, and he's going to do it. 2 Peter chapter 1. I know we're reading a lot of scripture today. 2 Peter chapter 1. After Peter talks about the glory they have in Christ as believers and how to grow in grace, Peter says this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 and following. Peter says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. They already know what Peter was telling them. Yes, I think it right. As long as I am in this tent, in other words, as long as I am alive, I'm going to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that surely I must put off my tent. I'm going to die, just as our Lord Jesus showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after I'm gone, after my decease. Not new truth, not something fancy, just what you already know. I'm going to tell you and tell you and tell you why, because I don't. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? You're going to forget. You're going to forget. You're going to drift. Why does Peter know all about that? What did Jesus tell Peter? He says, you're going to deny me 3 times. And what happened to Peter? He forgot all about it. He knows. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, first 2 verses. Beloved, I now write to you this second letter, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Don't forget. Part of my responsibility as teaching pastor is to remind you of things you already know. All right? We know that. We read that 100 times. We memorized those verses. We heard better teaching on that. I'm sure you have. That's not the issue. The issue is, are we remembering? My wife has to remind me of things all day. And she said, I've told you. I won't get there, but you know, I forget. We forget. You think guys forget more than ladies? Is that maybe I won't ask. All right. That's why the Lord's table. That's why the Lord's table. And we've said this many times before, but when the Apostle Paul gives instructions for the Lord's table, he gives it to a church, the church at Corinth, and just about every known sin you could come up with, you could find in that church. They forgot who they were. Paul says, you know, you're saints, and you better start acting like saints. They weren't. In fact, they were coming to the love feast. How were they coming to the love feast? A very holy time, the meeting of the church. How were they coming? They were coming drunk. They were coming drunk. And they were coming, they were bringing food to share. And rather than sharing with you, they were coming and being hogs at the love feast. They're just being gluttonous. And there's all kind of disunity going on. And they're acting like anything but the church of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, hey, it's time to stop this. And he introduces the breaking of the bread and talks about what Jesus did. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget what Jesus did for you. Don't forget who you are, your identification, and the expectations that come with it. Number five, and we'll wind down here. For this morning, I want to mention here just at least four personal needs that I believe every believer in Jesus Christ has. I have them. I believe you have them. At least four for now. Number one, we all need reminders. We all need reminders. We constantly forget. We drift. We forget our true identity. It's an important part of the church coming together. We all need constant reminders, like the Lord's table. We need reminders. Number two, we all need, all of us need, to take personal responsibility. We all need to take personal responsibility for ourselves. And that's the exhortation here in Deuteronomy. For our families, that's also the exhortation in Deuteronomy. Remind your children, teach your children, teach your grandchildren. Question is, what are you doing? What are you doing so we don't forget? You know, you're reading the Bible, you're talking about Scripture, you're memorizing verses. Sometimes we put verses around the house, we write them down. Fellowship's so important. I spent some time with Pastor Zach yesterday, and he said, coming to the church up there at Red Run, he said, you know, we're working through the creed on Wednesday night. He's teaching them the Apostles' Creed. He said, I can go through all other lessons, but you know what? We need to be reminded of the great truths of the faith so we don't forget. So he says, I myself need to recite the creed, which is biblically based, so he doesn't forget, and they don't forget the identity. We're sitting up there in the choir loft. We're conducting a funeral together, and as the congregation was settling down, I think somebody was singing, and it's a choir loft where it's kind of blocked off a little bit. He opened up a hymnal and showed me. He pasted the creed right back in the hymnal. Why? So we won't forget. That's taking responsibility. Third need. We need reminders. We need to take personal responsibility. Number four, or out of three. Three, we need to take time, which is tough in our busy day. We need to take time to reflect and to reevaluate. We need to take time to reflect and reevaluate. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28 says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And Paul goes on to say, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, the church there. And then he adds, For this reason, many are weak and sick, and many sleep, which is a nice way of saying those who do not stop and reflect and reevaluate could even die by the judgment hand of God, not lose their salvation, but just be punished. Sickness, weakness, even death. We need to take time to reflect and to reevaluate. And number four, it should lead to this. We all need to then, after these things, practice biblical repentance. Biblical repentance. By the way, what is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind that leads to change of action and behavior. Being convicted by the Word of God, evaluating our lives by the Word of God, making those changes, and behaving like a believer should do. We don't just repent when we place our faith in Christ. We're repenting as believers, hopefully all the time. Why? Because who we are, our identification, is to determine what we do, our behavior, our thinking. Our Lord Jesus says, do this. Do this in remembrance of me. Remembering what I did for you on the cross, paying for your sin, but also remembering who you are in Christ, which should affect our behavior before the watching world. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray this morning. The Lord's table and baptism, as I mentioned before, are designed for believers in Jesus Christ. You may not be a believer in Jesus Christ. We're so thrilled you're here this morning. Maybe you've never come to the place in your spiritual life where you've placed your faith, your belief, your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who loved you and died for your sin on the cross. And before we close and transition to the Lord's table, we want to give you an opportunity to trust Christ as your personal Savior this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I just mentioned yesterday I had the honor of conducting a funeral with Pastor Zach, asked to be part of that, for a man who died a week ago, 59 years old, which I think is young. Just a week or so before, prior to that, he turned from what he was trusting in, and he believed that when Jesus died, he died for him. He trusted Christ and Christ alone. And I don't know how this works out in God's eternal plan, but I said to my pastor friend, I wonder what would have happened today if somebody would not shared Christ with him a few weeks ago. The funeral would not have been in the church. The pastors would not be able to say the man is absent from the body and present with the Lord. It would be a time of weeping. Why a time of rejoicing? Because the man turned from what he was holding on to, and he placed his faith, his hope, his trust in Jesus Christ because someone was bold enough, a couple people were bold enough to confront him with his need for Christ. And he understood that, and he trusted Christ. What about you this morning? Are you holding on to something other than Jesus? And sometimes people hold on to their baptisms, or I did Holy Communion, or I went to church, or I'm a pretty good person. I'm sure you're a good person, otherwise you wouldn't be here this morning. But that won't get you to heaven. That won't get you to heaven. It's Christ and Christ alone. And all you need to do is so simple, so simple. Satan comes and confounds it, confuses it. You need to just believe that when Jesus Christ died on that cross as the Son of God, he died for you, taking the wrath you deserve. And when you place your faith in Jesus, when you believe in Jesus, God takes the righteousness of Jesus, he transfers it to us, and he takes all our sin and takes it to the cross. And we're forgiven. We're new creatures. Simple as that. Abandoning whatever we're holding on to, and fleeing to Christ, believing that when Jesus died, he died for me. He died in my place. What about you this morning? What about you? How do you do that? How do you do that? You can do it in the form of a prayer. The prayer will not save you, but Jesus will. All you need to do is say something like this right now, right where you're sitting. Dear Heavenly Father, I understand I am a sinner. I understand, I believe that when your Son Jesus died, he died for my sin on the cross. And at the best of my ability, I want to place my faith in Christ. I believe that when he died for me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Still heads bowed. If anyone is trusting Christ this morning, anyone just prayed to God that little prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't call you out this morning. Just raise your hand so I can pray for you this morning. Just do that. Just say, Pastor Sutter, I'm trusting Christ this morning. I'm believing in Christ this morning. I'm throwing down what I've been holding on to. I'm clinging to Christ. Thank you. I see that. That's great. Thank you. Anyone else? I see that. Thank you. Father, the gospel is so precious. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for saving Mike yesterday, or at least a couple weeks ago. And thank you, Lord, it was a glorious celebration. Thank you, though, for those who are placing their faith in Christ this morning. Thank you, Father, for the free offer of the gospel. And Lord, we ask if there's someone here who's never trusted Christ, we just pray that they would not let this day go on without dealing with their eternal life while there's time. Thank you, Father, for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.